dark place. Colors changed. A caterpillar of white, yellow, and black became an orange butterfly. A creature that crawled transformed into a creation that flew. A larva that had eaten only leaves unfolded as a butterfly that drank flower nectar. A complete metamorphosis. Maybe hard places allow God to take what is worm-like in us and give us wings to soar. Maybe in the dark, hidden places, a transformation is happening, a place where He performs personal resurrections, where He brings peace we can't explain, but the peace is more real than the waves that rock us. While Dad rides his blue canoe in waterless places, I am reminded of another canoe. When I was 16, I went on a 10-day canoe trip in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, BWCA, in northern Minnesota, on Saganaga Lake, the largest lake in the BWCA, where size is measured not in feet but in acres, more than 17,000. We encountered a summer storm. Our aluminum canoes were tossed like toys in a bathtub, except this bathtub was 280 feet deep with waves that tumbled water over the gunwales. The wind was so strong that when we stopped paddling, our canoes traveled backward. Even paddling as hard as we could, we made little headway. Surrounded by rolling water, the peace of the night before was forgotten. Memories of sitting around the campfire, fixing our one-pot hot and a lot of pasta, and sharing stories of the day. Of our laughter as we set up tents by flashlight and chased out the last mosquito before climbing into sleeping bags that smelled like wood smoke. Of closing our eyes to the haunting call of the loon on flat, still waters. Gone. All the peace of those memories, gone. In its place, stark, consuming terror. A hard place. I can relate to the disciples who screamed for help during a storm in the middle of a sea, a place measured not in acres but in square miles. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus had sent them on their way across the water without him. The trip probably started easily enough, with jokes and recollections of picking up the leftovers and who had consumed the most fish and bread. Their hearts were full of seeing the miracle. Fishermen are storytellers by trade, but I don't imagine there was any talk in the boat of the one that got away, because it didn't get away. Hadn't they seen it with their own eyes? Two fish and a handful of loaves had fed 5,000 people. In their excitement, the disciples paid no attention to the approaching thunderclouds that blotted out the sun, or to the descending black gloom that hung suspended above them, waiting. Like a stick of dynamite with the fuse finally lit, the clouds exploded with rain, drenching, soaking rain. Wind heaved the boat from side to side. The disciples had hit a meanwhile. Meanwhile, the boat was far out to sea when the wind came up against them and they were battered by the waves. Matthew 14, verse 24. Battered. For men who had made their living on this very sea, it wasn't a minor squall. It was a storm of gargantuan proportions. The disciples were simply traveling from point A to point B, minding their own business, coming from a place of easy water, when they hit a storm. We regularly hit meanwhiles. Meanwhile, the air conditioner is broken, the car payment is overdue, and you fear your husband wants a divorce. Meanwhile, the washing machine quit mid-cycle, your best friend isn't speaking to you, and your teenager is failing classes. Meanwhile, the car has a flat tire, the chicken soup boiled over on the stove, and your house was robbed while you ran to the grocery store. Meanwhile, my dad rides in his blue canoe because he has reached a hard place with his cancer. Meanwhile, I find myself in a place where circumstances have wrapped so tightly that the air has been completely sucked out and I am unable to move. Meanwhile, if the stories in Scripture are not only history lessons, but also places we can find ourselves in the pages,